You are listening to the Long Hollow Podcast. For more information on Long Hollow or to watch a video version of this podcast, visit www.longhollow.com.
All right, this is our final series, sermon in the Holy Spirit series. How many people have been here for the entire series in person or online? Anybody been here for the whole thing? Great, praise God. This one we're going to talk about. What are the effects of the Holy Spirit in our life? What do we see happen? What do we experience in our own life? And the title is going to be Living Free in the Spirit. Living Free in the Spirit. Now, I don't know if you know this, but there's a scientific principle called the exposure effect. A Japanese psychologist, Sadako Namajika, actually came up with this, and he was interviewing and studying a number of adults, hundreds and hundreds of adults. And here's how the study went. He would put two photos before people. They were two sets of photos, and they were in two categories. The first set was a dog owner with their dog. Then the second set of photos was a dog owner or an owner who had a different dog. So it wasn't their dog, okay? And what they did is they began to poll the people to see if you actually purchase dogs that look like you. And so they began to ask the people as they picked these photographs out, they said, that's the dog owner of this person, that's the dog owner of this person. And surprisingly, guess how accurate the people were in matching the dog owner with a dog. 80% accurate. They looked at the eyes in certain areas, the mouths in certain areas. So I thought, why don't we just see if that's true with some of our staff, right? I mean, we all have dogs, right? So let's see here. We got a couple staff pictures here. And Ronnie looks just like her dog, right? No offense, but that's a pretty good one right there, right? Amber, wow. Wow, that's a good, that's a really good, yep. Chris and Oz, wow. Chris, I see that resemblance right there. Now, this is a dead giveaway here. This one. Yeah, I mean, I could be blind and pick that one out. So basically, what we learned about this is the science is... Colin. that was not in there. That's not even a dog. That's a goat, by the way. That's my goat. But anyway... What we found out is that not only are we drawn to certain things that look like us, but there's a biblical principle here I want to make you aware of. We actually are transformed by what we look at. A person is transformed by what they behold, what they gaze at, what they look at. And the Bible teaches this principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, I hope you do, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll consider verses 15 and following. And I want to show you this principle about how a person is changed and transformed in the Spirit. If you're there, we like to say word at Long Hollow. If you're at home, if you're at Gallatin, you can say word. The word of the Lord. Yet still today, whenever Moses is read, now what he's talking about is the Old Testament Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. A veil lies over their hearts, the Israelites. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil, the covering, the cloth that you can't see is what? Removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, say it with me, freedom. Freedom, that's a good word right there, right? We all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, or being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. And so what we see in this text is that this section is bookended with the Lord is the Spirit and the Spirit is the Lord. And so let's pray as we begin to study about the Holy Spirit. Let's ask for his assistance as we begin. God, we want to experience freedom in here. And I think every one of us needs it in one area of our life or another. And so we know from your text that when the Spirit of the Lord shows up, there is freedom from sin, freedom from guilt and shame and pain and depression and anxiety, freedom from ourselves, freedom to serve, freedom to live, freedom to move, freedom to have our being in you. So that's our prayer today. Would you open our blinded eyes? God, for those who are here joining online who are blind to the fact that they are blind, would you remove the veil today in Jesus' name? Set them free that they may see you. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, I want to teach you two principles about transformation and transfiguration in the Christian life. And the first one is this, and this is a big one. I want you to get this. We become what we behold. We become what we behold. Now, this word here, the key word in the text is looking, if you see it in here. I think the ESV calls it beholding or gazing, you can say. It's not a casual glance. It's not a momentary look. It's not gonna happen for coming once a week to church, okay, just to share. It's not gonna happen on Christmas and Easter showing up for the obligatory service. This is not what he's talking about. He's talking about an intent stare at the glory of God. Now, we know this principle from the world. Why? Because whatever we're obsessed with, watch this, changes our character. Did you know this? Whatever you're obsessed with in life, and we're all obsessed with something, let's be honest, changes us. If you're obsessed with the news, can anybody testify to that? Can anybody testify to their husband or wife changed by the news? Can I get an amen, right? Some people say, oh me, I ain't raising my hand on that, right? We're changed by politics. We're changed by athletics, we're changed by sports. And I don't know what kind of change, but we're changed by what obsesses us. We're changed by sexual immorality. You're changed by pornography. In fact, even now, scientists will say that a man or a woman that looks at pornography, explicit videos or inappropriate images for an extended period of time, watch this, it actually changes the composition of your brain. It changes you. Now, the flip side is spiritual things change us as well in a good way. It doesn't matter what the object is or matters what the object is, but whatever we behold is what we're gonna become. So whether good or bad, the object will change us. Now, here's what we need to realize. We are transformed in the Christian life when we behold the Lord, when we behold the glory of God. So the natural question is this, what does that look like? Think about it. How do you behold the Lord? Well, there's a number of reasons. One is you meditate on the word of God. You simmer on the sovereignty of God, that God's in control. You marinate on the goodness of God. You rejoice in the blessings of God in your life, right? You think about the kindness of God. When's the last time you did this? Just buffering time to sit with the Lord and really think about these things. Now, one of the cool things about beholding is this. When you sit and behold the Lord, the onus, the responsibility is on him, not you, to change you. How cool is that? He changes you while you sit with him. Now, one of the ways this happens is when we sit with God and we're still enough to know that he's God. Now, if you know anything about change in the world today, it goes against everything we believe, right? Because change in the world today is kind of antithetical to sitting and beholding and waiting and looking. For example, if you want to lose weight today, let's just say, is beholding brownies or beholding carrots or beholding salad going to cause you to lose weight? No. You actually have to do something. You have to eat better, right? You got to stop eating sugar and salt and all these other things, which we love, and ice cream at night, which I eat every night. But we got to stop those things and we got to start eating. We got to do something, right? If you want to gain muscle, you got to actually go to the gym. Listen, a gym membership will not build muscle. Did you know that? The little card on your keychain is good, but it's not gonna build, like you actually have to do something, right? If you wanna be a better leader in your business, what do? You get a leadership coach and you start doing things with the leadership coach. If you want to be spiritual, normally what we think is, man, I got to go to seminary. I got to go to Bible college. I got to go to church, right? I got to be in a sanctuary. And all those things are good, but none of those things, the Bible says, watch this, changes you into the image of God from glory to glory. Get this. Here's what changes you. What changes you is when you buffet time to be still with God. And we wonder why so many church members don't act like Christians. Amen? I remember when I started sitting with the Lord in silence and solitude, it was so foreign to me because I got ADHD, which you know, hyperactivity. So sitting is hard for me. Mind's racing, ideas. I tell people, if I can do it, you can do it. I promise you. I promise you. It took a while, but eventually we got there. But I remember one night early on, it was about 2-3 months in, I'd sat with the Lord that night for about an hour and a half, just sitting in silence, maybe talking to the Lord, hearing a few things, but really nothing major, no fireworks in the sky, no shooting star. I mean, just me in silence and solitude. I remember getting up from my spot on the porch and I started to walk in the house. And before I walked in the house, I kind of got real with God. I'm like, God, really? What was that? Right? You ever been real with the Lord? Like, what was that? I mean, that was it really was like a waste of time. I got nothing from that hour and a half, right? And the Holy Spirit, as he normally does, tapped me on the shoulder that night and said, no, big boy, you didn't get nothing. In fact, you got everything because you got me and I got you. See, it was there when I realized that that was the purpose of sitting with the Lord. See, you got to understand, when you begin to sit with the Lord, you may not see any definitive or visual or natural changes early on. In fact, your wife or your spouse or your kids might not see it. But over time, you need to know every moment spent with the Lord changes you. Every moment. Write this down. I've said this before, but I want you to hear it again. Every great movement of God through history, every one of them, begins with a man or woman not moving. Every great movement of God. You want a great movement of God in your life today? Listen to me. It begins by not moving. What do I mean? You need to get to the place where you say, God, I'm not going to move until you move in my life. Who's willing to do that? I'm not gonna move from this spot of sitting in your presence, basking in your glory, thinking about your kindness, meditating on your good until something happens. Over the past 6 months of this move of the Lord at our church, we've had the privilege of meeting with church staffs and pastors and ministry leaders from all over the country. They'll normally come in during the week and they'll meet with our staff and our lead team and Tim LaFleur and others will gather together and they'll always come in and they always have the same two questions, always the same. Because they hear about what's happened in my life, they hear about what's happened in our church, and they always ask the same two questions. Number one, tell it, and they got their notebooks out. Tell us, what did you do step by step to see this revival? Give us the steps, right? And then number two is, what can we do? Hold on, let me get my pen ready. Hold on, what can we do to see this revival step by step? And naturally, you know the answer to this because you've been a part of it. I say, first of all, there is no step-by-step process to the Holy Spirit, by the way. He does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, with who he wants, right? I simply say to them, I love your curiosity. I'm passionate. I love your passion. But the reality is we didn't do much more than I began sitting with the Lord and beholding his glory. Our church began sitting with the Lord and waiting on God. And we started to believe God again. That's it. That's what we did. And the two words I want to give you are the two words I give them. Write these two words down. You need to have an unhurried, uninterrupted time with God. Friends, if you get nothing else from this sermon series, these are the two words right here. You need to have an unhurried, uninterrupted time with God. So let me ask you, how you doing? How you doing with that? I love, I read one quote this week. It says, busyness is not a tool of the devil. Busyness is the devil, right? I mean, that's what he loves to do. Keep us busy and we don't behold. If he can keep us busy, we don't sit with the Lord. The way you spell love, what it has to do with God, is T-I-M-E. That's how you spell love with God. T-I-M-E. Number two, I want to show you the second thing that happens in a believer's life. When the Spirit comes in, the Spirit begins to work in our life to make us become what we behold, but this is the outflow of what happens. You are free, number two, we are set free in the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's freedom. Now, there are many freedoms that come with the Spirit. I want to give you two of them for time's sake. The first one is this: we are free to see the glory of God. We have freedom to see his glory. Now, what he says is, we now all with unveiled faces. What he's saying is, there was a covering over your face. It's now removed by Christ. In order to understand that, we have to go back to verse 12. So go back up in verse 12. And I want you to see what he says here. He's talking about Moses in the Old Testament. He's talking about the time when Moses went up to the mountain, if you remember, and he saw the glory of God momentarily. And then Moses comes down. Since then, we have such a great hope. We act with great boldness. We are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face. Why, Moses? To prevent the Israelites from gazing steadily until the end of the glory of what was being set aside. Now, what he's saying here is this. There was a time in the Old Testament when Moses would go up to be in the presence of God and the glory radiated on his face, but it was Old Covenant glory. It was Old Testament glory. It was a momentary glory. It was fading glory. You ever wonder this? Why would God say, Moses, put a veil over your face before the people? Well, obviously it was bright. We get that. But God had a reason. And I think the reason is this, because he didn't want to see people noticing his glory fading. That was a fading glory. But New Testament believers, as we see in verse 17, we now all with unveiled faces, as looking in a mirror, are beholding the glory of God when? Today. Isn't that cool? Like, you and I have access to the Lord to see the glory of God. What a promise. What a blessing. And you're probably saying, that's not a big deal. Listen to me, friends. When Jesus Christ comes back on a horse on the clouds one day and you see Jesus face to face, you will be enamored with his glory. I promise you. I promise you. This is a glory that's overwhelming, he said. And what he says is, this glory is given to us as Christians. And I just thought about it this way. You know, the glory of God was resigned to a box in a temple on a mountain. And only one man every year had access to the temple on the Day of Atonement to go into the Holy of Holies to be in the presence of God. And after the death, burial, this is so good, listen. After the death, burial, and resurrection, what happened? The veil, another veil, a veil was torn in two, and now you and I can boldly approach the throne of grace of God through his son, Jesus Christ. How cool is that? We have access to God. We can see now with unveiled faces. Now, here's the deal. Just because you have an unveiled face doesn't mean you're actually seeing the glory of God. Because what's interesting about this veil is the veil really is just a connection to something deeper. Moses is not really interested. Paul's not really interested in the veil. He's interested in their heart. Watch this. It's actually their minds and hearts that were the problem. He said the veil was on their face, but their minds were what? Hardened. The veil was a covering, but the mind was the problem. The minds were hardened. For to this day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains. It is not lifted because it is set aside only in Christ. What he's saying is, the only way for you to have the veil removed today, listen up, is if you ask Christ to remove it. Yet still today, whenever Moses is read, a veil is over their hearts. Now, here's what's interesting about this. A hardened mind, write this down, leads to a veiled heart. A hardened mind leads to a veiled heart. We all know Christians, we all know, or church members, we all know church members, we all know people who show up at church, we all know religious people, we know people who come for Christmas and Easter and claim to be Christians, right? And yet they are so bound by sin, we think, wow, are they actually living the same life that's promised in the Bible? Because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. But we see a lot of church folk who are very religious, very legalistic, very orderly, and yet they're not free. They're bound. They're not changed. They're in prison in their sin. And one of the problems is, listen to me, some of you, and I say this with a lot of love today, some of you who claim to be a Christian may be blinded to the blind spot that everyone else sees in your life. That's what I learned about blind spots in my own life. You don't realize there's a blind spot. In fact, that's why it's called a blind spot, right? You're blind to the blind spot in your life. You're blinded to the veil over your face. You don't know there's a veil over your face. You probably say, well, I could see right now. Let me prove it to you. Do me a favor, hold your hand. I want you to legitimately do this. If you have glasses, take your glasses off. Some of you are like, well, I'm there. I don't need a hand, but I get it. Just take your hand. And I want you to put your hand over your eyes right now, okay? Don't look. Nobody look. At home, don't look. If you're driving, don't do this. Not a good illustration. I want you to tell me, without looking, what is in my hand? Okay, some of you are peeking now. And see here, that's the point. See, that's why you look at me. That's exactly what happened last week. My boys were playing Marco Polo, where one's supposed to close eyes and the other's supposed to run, okay, around and move around. And every time Rig would do Marco Polo, he'd never catch Ryder. Every time Ryder would do Marco Polo, it was in like 30 seconds. And the whole time Rig's like, you're looking. No, you know, he's like, no, I'm not looking, you know. What are you talking about? I'm not looking, you know. And he's cheating. That's not what I'm talking about. See, listen, here's the deal. You can squint all you want. You're not going to see Christ. You can wipe your hands all you want. You can wipe your eyes all you want. You can't see Christ. You can peek all you want. You won't see Christ. The only way you're going to be set free from the bondage you are in is by Christ. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There is freedom. There's freedom. I have a sneaking suspicion in a room this size, there are some in here who would say, Pastor, I need to be free. I'm bound up right now. Number two, we'll talk about it, freedom from sin. This is a big one. I think this applies to all of us. Freedom from sin. Sin, from the moment you are born, you don't have to teach a child to sin. Because of the original sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, every person in here has inherited a sin nature and are sinners by definition. Okay, we have a sin nature and we are sinners. That means you are bound by sin. That means you are encapsulated by sin. That means you are imprisoned by transgression. Now, the moment you come to Jesus, here's what's cool about when you truly are born again. He takes the old and he makes it what? New. He takes your sinful life and he breaks free the shackles that have paralyzed you for so long. You're now free in Christ. You're free to do what? You're free to worship. You have freedom to serve Christ. You have freedom to live the abundant Christian life that Jesus promises. Now, here's the deal, though. Ask yourself, are you living that? Are you living this abundant, free, Christian, satisfying, prosperous life that Christ promised? See, here's the illustration. It'd be like a prison cell on this stage. And we have someone locked up for an extended period of time. And then let's say the warden comes in with the key to the prison cell. And you've been in that prison cell for a while. And the warden goes up to the cell and he unlocks the door. And he says, hey, you're free to go. Go out now, you're free. At the moment the prison cell is open, are you free, technically, legally? Can the policeman help me? Because apparently nobody else. When the cell is open, are you legally free? Yes, you're free to go. But it's a, watch this. It's a choice of whether you're going to walk in freedom. See, some of you are free because Jesus has set you free, but you're still bound because you're living in an unlocked prison cell of sin. And you're not walking in victory. You're not walking in freedom. Talked to one of our Gallatin members this week. He was telling me about a discipleship group he's leading in Trousdale Turner Prison, which is part of Men of Valor, which is in our church, and Kurt Campbell and others lead that great ministry. And we send, I don't know if you know this, but we send a number of men every week to the prison to disciple around 60 men in prison every week. And I talked to Kurt yesterday and he said, we can use a whole lot more disciple makers because we have a whole lot more people who want to be discipled. I said, man, that's a great problem to have, right? Great challenge to have. So no pressure, men, but time to step up and help, amen, for the glory of God. Well, here's what this guy, he kept going on and on about this. He's like, Robbie, you don't understand. This has changed my life. I said, really? He said, I thought I was going to bless these men. He said, but it has blessed me more than anything. He said, you got to understand. These men who are in this prison, they are memorizing scripture like I've never seen. They're walking in the Spirit. They're dependent upon God. They're pressing in to God. They're learning more than I've ever seen. They soak up everything we tell them. They just want more of God. He said, I've never seen anything like it. I said, let me stop you. So basically what you're saying is those men in prison are freer in prison than church members who live free in our church today. Is that what you're telling me? He said, yeah, I think that's what I'm telling you. Friends, listen to me. Your geography and your location does not determine your freedom. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're free. You may be more bound up than someone serving a life sentence because of sin. See, you can be in prison and be free, or you can be free and be bound. But here's the promise from Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, what does Paul say? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Jesus says, when Christ sets you free, when the Son sets you free, you are free. What? Indeed, the truth will what? Will set you free. Paul said, it is for freedom that Christ has set us what? Free. Do not submit yourselves to a yoke of slavery again. And so I'm going to ask you today, are you free? Or are you bound up? I feel like there's some people in here who are bound right now. You're bound by religion. You're bound by a system. You're bound by legalism. Some of you are just bound by legalism, or maybe you're bound by sin in your own life, addiction. Addiction may be something that has you bound. Maybe you're paralyzed by a health issue. And so in just a moment, here's what I'm going to do. I really feel like we'll do this at Gallatin, and we're going to do this here, and we'll do this online. But I really feel like there are some people in here who would say, Pastor, I need to be set free. And here's the cool thing. You don't even need to tell me what it is, because God knows. God knows what you're struggling with. In fact, he knows it better than you. He's waiting for you to admit it. He knows about it. And he's okay with it. He's saying, hey, I can fix that. He's not okay with it, but he could fix it. He's saying, hey, come to me and I'll take that away. I'll take the pain away. I'll take the shame away. I'll take the guilt away. And so I'm just going to ask you in just a moment, we're going to stand, and I'm going to ask you if you need someone to pray over you for freedom. Some of you here, you say freedom from discouragement, freedom from pain, freedom from separation, freedom from sin in your life, freedom from pornography, freedom from despair, discouragement. I don't know what you need freedom from today. Let's stand as we come to the Lord. If you're at Gallatin, I'm going to ask you to stand as well. And I'm just going to ask you if the Lord has really pressed that on your heart, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Now, some of you are going to come because you've never experienced freedom in Christ ever. And for the first time, you're going to come and you're going to experience this freedom that we're talking about. But for others, there may be a time right now you're struggling. So I just want you to bow before the Lord. Take a posture of prayer. And if you're bound up and you need to be free, would you just come? You're just going to line here in the front and stand right here at the front. Maybe it's an addiction you need to be set free of. And I'm telling you, there's power and agreement and prayer. I promise you. You cannot do this alone. Don't let the enemy make you think you can. So if you're at Gallatin, I'm going to ask you to come. And you're just going to stand here in the front. And I'm just going to pray over you. Others are starting to come now. You just come. You need to be free from discouragement. Some of you need to be free from depression that has plagued you. The moment you get up, the moment you go to bed, you're overwhelmed with anxiety or panic attacks. You need, God, would you set me free from that? Some of you need to be free from pornography. You need to be free from immorality. Some of you need to be free from sexual immorality. Some of you need to be set free from pride or anger or arrogance. I don't know, but I do know this. If you're bound right now, I'm going to ask you to come. Thank you. Others are coming. You come. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. You'll regret it if you leave, I promise. Man, I should have went. Golly, I wish I would have gone. I wish I would have gone. If you can't take a stand in this place surrounded by friends, friends, you'll never take a stand outside of this place, I promise. I promise. So you come. You come. Nobody's going to look down on you. In fact, they're going to be, they're going to look with admiration while this brother, this sister is unashamed to take a stand for Christ. Amen. Anyone else before we pray? Anyone else? Don't miss this. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? You come. Don't miss it. I've been praying all week that God is going to set you free. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. The reason Jesus couldn't do ministry in the towns he went in is because of the unbelief of the people. And God wrecked me about my unbelief. So I believe right now, not some crazy, arrogant, prideful belief. I believe in a sovereign God who can set people free. Amen? You believe that? I believe that. I believe that. If you don't believe that, ask God to help your unbelief. Amen? Anyone else? We got a number of people who are coming. You come. Amen. I want us to pray in agreement together over these men and women. I don't know what their struggles are, and I don't need to. But I'm going to give you a moment to share it with God. Just going to stand in silence for a moment. And then I'm going to pray with our church body over you to be set free. So join me for a moment. Let's just stand in silence before the Lord. Would you just share with the Lord the struggle you have, the freedom you need? Just confess to God that you cannot fix this. You need Him to intervene right now, way bigger than what you can handle. Father, we come to you right now in the strong name of Jesus. And God, we're going to hold you. We're going to do something the Puritans say. We're going to sue God. We're going to hold you accountable to do what you have promised to do. We're going to hold you accountable. Not because we said it, God, because you said it. And we believe you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Not partially, not half-heartedly. You are fully free. So God, I don't know what they're dealing with today, these men and women, but God, you do. And so I pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray as a church body together. We're believing, God, that they're going to experience an encounter with the risen Christ right now. that they're going to experience something supernatural happening in their life, God, and they would feel as if a guilt or a shame or a weight was lifted off of their life, that they may go all in to serve you now. God, we know that when we have a need, the supply in heaven has already been given. And you give us the need in order to grow us closer through intimacy with you. And so we're going to ask right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you release the answer in heaven to be realized on earth through these men and women? And I pray right now, God, that they would give testimony to you. They would say this, hey, what happened in your life? I thought you were, yes, I've been set free. Well, how is that happening? God did this. God did this. God, that they would testify from the rooftops and from their homes and from the internet. This is what only God can do. So God, we pray right now, have your way. Have your way. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you guys for coming. Listen, if you need prayer before you go, it's up to you. We have our Next Steps area there. If you need prayer, someone to pray over you or someone to walk with you, if you need that. But we're going to continue to worship. You can stay here and bow before the Lord. It's up to you. You can go back to your seat if you want. But we're going to continue to worship the Lord. And I'm going to ask some of you, maybe you need to come and do business with the Lord. The steps are always open. And so you respond today as the Lord would lead you to respond.